Christmas time. It's an amazing story, amazing truth of God's love for all mankind. Are you excited that it's Christmas time? Yeah. I mean, it's Christmas. Who can't be joyous about Christmas? For we celebrate it in all of its grandeur because for many of us, we look forward all year for this special time, this special moment, the moment of Christmas. And God has a message for us in this Christmas season. As we look in his word, we know that the time had come in the life of Mary and Joseph, a small town in Bethlehem, where we mark the first Christmas experience. And I believe that God wants to use that very same story to show us how we can experience a greater depth with Christ in this Christmas season. Why don't you join me in the second chapter of Luke, beginning at the first verse, as we look together at the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, God's word declares, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came." While they were there, the time came that for her to give birth. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Christmas time had come. Pray with me. Father, as we engage your word, we thank you so much for the joy of Christmas, for our Savior coming into the world to redeem all mankind from our sins. Now we ask that you would speak to us afresh from this familiar story, that we might be challenged to live our lives out for you and for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. The time had come. We talk about time in our language, don't we? We talk about time. We talk about how time flies, how time heals, how time moves fast. We always talk about how we spend time. We kill time. And if the preacher takes too long, we check the time. But we talk about time in our day-to-day experience. But Michael, for Mary and Joseph, a special time had come. Text says a time had come in their lives for their lives to be used by God. See, God always knew he was going to come. This is part of God's prophetic plan. God planned to come and save humanity from the foundations of the earth. God knew what he would do on our behalf. And let me go ahead and parenthetically say, and God always does what he says he's going to do. Amen. I think I have some believers in here who know the truth of God's word, that God is a God of his word. And if he says it, he's going to do it. And so God had a plan, and he chose these two. You know the Christmas story. Some of you do, at least. He chose this young couple, Mary and Joseph, a couple who were in love with each other, in love with God. And God saw them, and he chose to use them. God used them to come into humanity. God chose these two. Neither of them had religious tenure. Neither of them were a prophet or a priest. They weren't dignitaries from their district, but God chose them. They weren't part of the religious elite. They were two teenagers, this young Virgin Mary and Joseph, already enacting plans to be married in the betrothal process. And there they are planning their lives, and God comes in the midst of their plans, and he chooses to use them. Dr. Hank, you know that God's choice wasn't because they were gifted or because they lack any gifts. I submit to you that there are those in the religious circle in the community that knew more of the Torah than these teenagers. Yet God chose them. God chose them because they were available for God to use them. And brothers and sisters, this Christmas, I want to challenge you as you offer gifts unto the Lord, that the gift you offer is your availability. Why don't you help me preach this morning and just turn to your neighbor for a moment. Just tell him God can use you. Okay, let me help you. Turn to your other neighbor. I said help me preach, so you got to say it like a preacher. Tell him God can use you if you are available to be used. God wants to use you. God desires to use you, and God can use you. When we are open to God's activity in our lives, God not only uses us, but he gets glory from us. Oh, yeah. Zipporah was available for God to use her, and God used her to save Moses' life. Deborah in the text was available for God to use her, and God used her to destroy an enemy assault against his people. Hadassah, you might know her as Esther. Esther in the Bible, she was available to God, and Mordecai says, for such a time as this, and God used her to save her entire household and nation. Micah was available to be used by God as a prophet, and God used him to proclaim that the eternal ruler, Christ would come from Bethlehem. Isaiah, before Mary and Joseph ever hit the landscape of the Bible, before Mary and Joseph were ever in existence, God used Isaiah. When the question came in Isaiah chapter 6, who can we send and who will go for us? Isaiah stands in the temple and says, here I am, Lord, send me, I'll go. And God used Isaiah to tell us prophetically, for to us a child is born. Because he was available, God used Isaiah to tell us a son would be given and the government would be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. How many Bible readers do we have in here? His name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the... I know I got some Bible readers in here. He's the Prince of Peace. Because they were available, God used them. And the time had come for God to use Mary and Joseph. And God spoke to Mary and Joseph, and both of them were available. I'll ask you a question in this Christmas season, in the time that God has for you. How available are you for God to fully use you? How available are you for God to come and overturn your agenda with his agenda? That's really what we see in Mary and Joseph's life, because when we meet this couple, they are planning a life together. They are planning to live life in holy matrimony. And God speaks to Mary at the beginning portions of the passage, and he tells her that he wants to use her. You've been in the spectacular. You know then that the angel of the Lord came to Mary, and he told her that God wanted to use her. Mary then asked, how will this be? Because she was a virgin. She didn't know a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God is going to use you to bring forth his son. And look at her availability. Mary says, may it be unto your servant as you have said. But Joseph, in in the first chapter of Matthew and the 24th verse, the same angel comes to him by way of a dream as he is pondering his life, and he's pondering knowing that his fiance, his espoused wife is now pregnant. He's pondering because he knows she's not pregnant for him. What he's going to do about this mercifully. And the angel Lord comes to Joseph. And he says, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for what is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And if you keep reading the text says, Joseph got up and he married her. In this Christmas season, God is taking the character of both Mary and Joseph to challenge us to be more available. Can God interrupt your plans? Let me talk to some real people here, huh? Can God change your agenda? In this Christmas season, if we're really going to celebrate Christ, let's make ourselves available for him to use us. Because God wants to use us. And so God then uses these two, and the text opens up at how God calculates and God orchestrates their arrival in Bethlehem. You have Mary and Joseph at the outset of chapter 2. Mary and Joseph now hear a decree that comes from an imperial regime that everyone is to register in this town of Bethlehem. And so now Mary and Joseph have to take an unplanned business trip to Bethlehem. But it's all God's orchestrating it. Because no matter what it looks like, brothers and sisters, God is always in control. And God used a pagan ruler so that he can bring about the declaration of his prophecy, that his prophecies may be fulfilled. God did it, and God used rulers then, and guess what? God can still use rulers now. That's why we ought not lose our cool about what's happening in this world, because God is still in control. And so God uses Mary and Joseph, and these two, get this, are committed to doing what God called them to do. I really want you to understand as we unpack the text. For here are these two, and now they're entering into Bethlehem. Do you see them there? They're making this journey that's usually from Joseph's hometown, a three-day journey, but given Mary's condition, and she's far along in her pregnancy, the journey may have taken a little longer. Can you see this young couple, as I speculate, Leslie, that Mary's like, Joseph, I know you made arrangements. We're going in to Bethlehem. Can you see the couple? I've been walking a long time. I wonder if her feet were swollen. But they kept on going, entered into Bethlehem, and there they're committed to doing what God called them to do. What would have happened if they weren't? What would have happened if Mary would have told the angel, go pick someone else. I'm not ready for this. I'm just a teenager. What do you think would happen if Joseph would have said, well, you know what? I'm not ready for the ready-made family. I had another idea of how my family was going to be. You do understand that this is a biblical-based, ordained, blended family. And Joseph is the adoptive father, and God wants to use him. Had they said no or been unavailable for God's use, they would have forfeited a personal experience with God's glory. Hear me, brothers and sisters. When you are available to God, you're attentive to his voice. You hear him when he speaks to you. You are attentive to his agenda. And get this, you do what God asks you to do. Oh, those are not my words. I have to give credit to whom credit is due, because on the other night I was able to celebrate God's faithfulness in the life of one of our church members who's been living for 90 years. We're celebrating her 90-year-old birthday. Her 90-year-old, I don't call them birthdays, we only have one of those, but her anniversary of life. And we were celebrating her anniversary of life there for 90 years. And after we prayed and we praised, she came in front of all of us. I won't forget this. This is Sister Lydia May Hibbert. She came in front of all of us. And as she maneuvered herself in front of the crowd, she said, young people, I want you to know, In 90 years, this is what I've learned. She said, do what God has asked you to do. This Christmas season, there's a lot of celebrations that are going to go on. There's a lot of fellowships that are going to go on. Will you be available for God and do what God has asked of you to do? This Christmas season, God may be sharing with someone, even listening in the congregation, that he wants to use you, and it's about time for you to marry the one you've been with. He may be speaking to somebody in the congregation that he wants to use you to raise the children he's blessed you with. But hear me, brothers and sisters, God is calling all of us in response to the Christmas season, like Mary and Joseph, to do what he's assigned for us to do, knowing that God never makes a mistake. God knows what he is doing. And if God assigned you to it, God will give you the ability to do what he has called you to do. And so here, Mary and Joseph now are entering into Bethlehem. They're on their way into Bethlehem, and now they're with child. She's late in her pregnancy, and they have to register. I got to tell you, I wasn't in Bethlehem, but I remember Dr. Hank. I remember back in 2002, a little over 16 years ago. I remember like it was yesterday because I had taken all the Lamaze classes, watched all the videos, I read all the books. I was ready, Leslie. I had spoken to some experts. I mean, you know, I had uncles who had like 10 children. I had consulted with others that I knew. I was ready. No, you don't understand how ready I was. Let me help you understand this thing here. I mapped out the quickest route to Baptist Hospital in New Orleans. I was ready. I had the hospital bag at the door. I had the baby car seat already in the van. Yeah, I had a van, y'all. I told you I was what? Yeah, I was ready. And so when the time came, and Kiana nudged me and said, the time came, I said, all right, come on. I didn't forget her at the house. I put her in the van, and I called ahead and let them know I was on my way. And as a backup, I had my mother-in-law in the caravan just in case I needed some help. Pulled up at the hospital, and there the medical practitioners came out, and they helped to deliver my firstborn son. Told you, I had this thing down. I knew I had it down. I was ready. But those modern day conveniences were not afforded to Mary and Joseph. If you understand the context of the text, Joseph is now in his hometown. And there, because of the time and date they got there, the text says that there was no room for him even in his hometown. I want you to see this thing. They're in Bethlehem now, and Mary is in tow. I don't know what questions may have gone on with the couple at this point, but can you see him jostling around, knocking on door to door with his aunt and his uncle and his cousins, knocking, does anybody have room? Only get the same response. No room. And you see them there? This young couple just trying to do what God has asked them to do, and it looks like they're in unfavorable circumstances. They're in an unfortunate dilemma, just trying to do what God asked them to do. Every door he's knocking on, there's no room, only to be relegated to take their respite in a place where animals reside. No one had room, and so now Mary and Joseph, in this unfortunate circumstance, have to spend the night in a stable. Oh, I know the pictures we got in mind when we talk about stables. No, it wasn't like that. It was more like a carved-out cave, a dark dwelling where animals would come and seek refuge from the elements. And there, Mary and Joseph, trying to do what God asked them to do in the first Christmas season. Now they're lying there. Do you see them? They're in a shelter with animals where animals eat and animals sleep. And, well, animals do what animals do. You fill in the blank there. And in that stench, our Savior was born. This teaches us something else that challenges us. And that is that we ought to trust God's timing even in difficult times. Because you ought not judge the season by the sight. Because the sight of things were uncomfortable. The sight of things were undesirable. The sight of where they were was uncomfortable. But guess what? I love that uncomfortableness can't undo the favor of God when God is in your life. I hope you read it in text. I said God's favor was with them. Leslie, God's favor was with them because God was with them. Did you get this? Is this thing? It's working. Because circumstances will challenge us to question whether or not we are doing what God has asked us to do. The lack of support sometimes will call us to call into question, am I doing what God has called me to do? But if it's backed up by the text, no matter what the scene looks like, you can trust that no matter how difficult things may look on the outside, you're still better off being on God's side than what it looks like on the outside. And so here they are. They are bearing witness to the Redeemer. Here they are. They are the first ones to see God in flesh. They're there to celebrate that God chose to use them. And the Savior came in a messed up condition, in a messed up place, so that he could rescue us from our messiness. I believe he came in all that stench to save humanity from the stench of our sins. Our Savior came to save us. And because they were willing to be used by God, they were blessed to see the glory of the Savior. This Christmas, brothers and sisters, what are you available to God for? How can God use you? Because God wants to use you. He can use you, but you must be available for his use. Text says they're there and they're trusting God even in difficult times. But the fourth lesson, if you don't get anything else from the Christmas message and the Christmas story, the text goes on to say that Mary, she didn't complain. No, there's no bitterness or complaint of the conditions. 13th verse, not 13th verse, I'm sorry. It says the seventh verse, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him, she swaddled him as a caring mother would. In rags that were used to tie the baby's limbs so they would be comforted. The pictures you get from the hospital when the baby is born, how they swaddled him in the blanket. This is the picture that is had of a caring mother. But then she lays him in what is available to her. She lays him in a feeding trough. And notice no one's complaining. Joseph is silent in the narrative. Mary is treasuring things in her heart, because we can learn from Mary and Joseph that we ought to make room for Christ in our lives. Now, I want you to hear this, brothers and sisters, because the text says they were in the manger because there was no room in the inn. You didn't close your Bibles, did you? There was no room for Jesus in the inn, but Mary and Joseph had room for him. And what I want to challenge you in this day, I want to challenge you with a graphic that I came across, because all of us are innkeepers who decide if there is room for Jesus in our lives. Text says they had no room. They had no room for Jesus, but Mary and Joseph did. Mary and Joseph made room for him. Not only Mary and Joseph, but shepherds, when they heard that Christ was in the vicinity, they changed from where they were and they went to where he was. They made room in their lives for him. Wise men came from the east later on in the years and they heard about the Savior, followed the star, and they changed their agenda to make room for the Savior. This Christmas, I want to challenge you. Make room for Jesus in your life. Make space that Jesus will be central to your life. Homes are healthy when Jesus is in the center. Parenting gets a little easier when Jesus is in the center. Singlehood is satisfying when Jesus is in the center, but we got to make room for him. We got to make room for him in our lives every day. Make room for time in his word. Make room for prayer. Make room to serve him and to be who he's called you to be. But you got to make room. Move whatever you have to move aside. And let this Christmas season be the time where you say yes to God and you say yes to making room for him. Amen. Today is the day for you to do just that. See, the Bible teaches that Christ is at the door of our hearts knocking. And he said if anyone would answer the door, he would come in and sup with us. That he would enter in when we make room for him. It will be a transforming decision of your life when you not allow Jesus, not allow Christ to be crowded out of your Christmas season, but that you make everything about him in this season and choose to live your life in a way that honors him. It begins by inviting him into your heart. Make room in your heart for him, and he will change your life.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.